Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. Dr. John here, speaking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana. You know, I was born and raised in New Orleans. I love the city. I don't like the crime and the debauchery that's going on now. It was not that way when I was growing up, though there was a lot of crime and debauchery. It seems like it's a lot worse now, but I guess everything's worse. So I moved my family up to the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain. New Orleans is on the South Shore. So I live about 30 miles. So we don't have that excessive in-your-face crime and debauchery on the North Shore. So there's a lot of people on the North Shore, they were born and raised in New Orleans. They got out of there too. And so, there's still crime and debauchery on the North Shore. It's just not as blatant and in your face. There's still crime and a lot of sin going on on the North Shore. But it's we call it a safer community because it's not in your face, and there's more law and order on the North Shore than there is in New Orleans, and they just don't put up with it up here. Thank God for that. And so, we kind of see that reflected in this chapter of Romans 2. Paul the Apostle is making the case, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what your background, you're committing sin. You're pointing the finger at the other person when you're doing the same thing. And none of this is justified in the eyes of God. As a matter of fact, Paul just plainly tells you, you're going to reap what you sow, no matter whether you're know the law, you raised up right or not. It's your behavior, it's your actions that are going to be the results, and you're gonna have to pay and answer for what you've done. And that's basically what this is talking about. So let's get busy, and we'll go through Romans chapter 2. Now, we saw in Romans chapter 1, I guess you would call it the French Quarter view of mankind, the in-your-face type of sin in Romans chapter 1. I mean, this, you know, he goes through it and he says God gave them over to this fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, perversion of order of God's creation. And it got to the point where they didn't want to even think about God or have God mentioned in their life at all. So that's kind of like the French Quarter view or New Orleans view of life. Yeah, they took down Robert E. Lee's statue in Lee's Circle, and they put up a monument in place of a statue of Robert E. Lee. They put up a statue of some voodoo god from West Africa. And that is the culture that has taken over New Orleans. That is the wickedness that's taken over New Orleans. They defame a man that was a great general. He loved his country. And so they put up this wicked god, false god, idol of a West African voodoo religion. So things are going that way. So up here on the North Shore, again, we don't go for that. So we can see New Orleans is chapter 1, and then in chapter 2, we can call the North Shore, still sin, still guilty of sin, but it's not as violent, let's say. And all right, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. See, I'm judging them on the North Shore, okay? I mean, on the South Shore in New Orleans. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things, right? But we are sure that the judgment of God, according to truth, against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know, you get the balance and scale out. Well, I'm not as bad as them, so God's going to love me compared to them. Or God's going to be favorable to me? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And what he's saying here is that the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, you on the North Shore, you live a lot higher quality of life, a lot safer life. And this is God's goodness, his riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. He's giving you a safer place to live, better food, better things to do. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Right. He's giving you a chance to look around and see that, yeah, you need some repentance in your life too, not just the guy that's out there committing fornication, adultery, drugging and stealing and all of that. You're the one. You need to look at yourself, not look down there. But verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, in revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So as you get hard and self-righteous and everything else, that hardens your heart against God's grace and mercy. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's what they'll receive. Okay. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, what they're going to get? Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. So, he's comparing the two. New Orleans and the North Shore. The North Shore, you live a good life, and you'll receive what you did. You'll receive rewards for that. Okay. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So he's saying here, whether you know the Ten Commandments or if you do not, never been exposed to the Ten Commandments, that's irrelevant in the eyes of God. He's looking at those that obey the Ten Commandments versus whether they know them or not. That's what he looks at. And God has put into each man a conscience. He's also written the law in their hearts. It's called common sense, which not too many people have. Their conscience bearing witness to that. Their thinking. And that thinking, those three things, the conscience, the law written in their heart, and their thinking, reasoning, comes to a conclusion, and then they act on that. And that is a law unto itself. So they're without they're without excuse. Now, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This is the pivotal scripture. This is the verse. We've seen the comparison of knowing the law and not knowing the law, obeying the law and not obeying the law. But then in verse 16, it says, here's a higher law. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So that's the law by which every person shall be judged. Their secrets shall be judged. And that is going to make the difference in their eternity. The law of God is good, and you live a higher quality of life if you obey the law, whether you know the Ten Commandments or not, but you live the law out in your conscience and your common sense and everything else, which is the Ten Commandments. You're going to be rewarded for that. But there's a higher law. It's called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and what Paul preaches. And that gospel, that is going to bring out the secrets of all mankind, of every person, how disobedience they have been to God's law. But a higher one is disobedience to the gospel. Whether you have accepted God's forgiveness of all sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sin, no matter how well you have kept the law, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to believe in the good news that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. God came in the flesh, died on the cross, and then resurrected from the dead. That's the gospel. And if you don't believe that your disobedience to your law or the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is that you have, that you're satisfied with your obedience to that instead of the obedience that Jesus Christ did to save your soul because you are a sinner, then you will not be accepted in heaven. You will not go into eternity with God. You'll go to a place where there is no love and mercy and grace. There's just horror for eternity because you thought you lived too good to be accepted or to accept God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the key point here. Now, verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law and makest thy boast of God. And God selected people. There are God selected people. We're studying in Genesis now, Jacob and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and how God is beginning to give them preferential treatment and to use them to bring the law of God into the world, and also the sacrifices are set up so that they understand that no matter how much they try, they need to sacrifice animals because they're sinners. All right. Verse 18, and knowest his will, God's will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. See. That's like living in the North Shore. We approve the things that are more excellent in life, a peaceable life, versus down in New Orleans, they do not approve. They ain't got a clue about a civilized life. That's a little exaggerated, but anyhow. And knowest his will. Okay, verse 19 in. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light to them by which in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, you know better than the criminal who doesn't know anything about the law, who lives the law of the jungle, the law of survival of the fittest, because you're not keeping, and you know the law. Okay. Verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Who's more right? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. John, Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit. You must worship him in spirit and truth. When you surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you confess that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus, sacrifice himself for you, and you believe in his resurrection and power over sin, then you are born again. You are a new creation, and that creation is, there's a new heart given. And then there's the Spirit of God that comes in. You have a new spirit, and you're not about keeping the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. So you don't look for the praise of men. You look for the praise of God. So Paul's really laying it out. So it doesn't matter whether you live in New Orleans, if you live on Bourbon Street, you live in a French Quarter, it doesn't matter. Or if you live on the North Shore and you live next to the most beautiful church, or if you're a pastor of a church and you live a very clean life and you tithe and all this other stuff, but if you're trusting in your work to be pleasing to God, then you're just as bad as the guy that goes out and goes bumming on Bourbon Street and shooting up drugs and robbing people. But you don't think you need the humble sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sin. I hope you do. I hope you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and as your life, that you have a new heart and that you're going to heaven. If you haven't, all you need to do, it's not a lot of work. It's believing, confessing that you need Jesus Christ, that you have died for your sin because you're a sinner, and your sin sent him to the cross to pay for your sin, and that you believe that he resurrected from the dead, and you have a, and you can have a new life through him. That's it. Believe, that's how simple. So don't stumble over it. Just believe that, and you'll start experiencing the new creature, the new heart, the new spirit. As you want to read the Word of God, you'll see things differently. You might even want to go to church. I know you want to read the Bible. And you get into a fellowship of believers that you can grow from that. And they'll understand what your new life is. It's not a praise of men. It's a praise of God. God bless you. You can contact me at WSM217@gmail.com.